Father, we do ask that you'd help us to understand your word as we look at it together, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm clearly not in complete control this morning, and I should have had all the things put up here. So you'll just have to, I need you to look at the verse. So let's look again at chapter 24 and verse 5. Now, the women had gone, and what do they see when they... What are they expecting to see, first of all? What are they expecting to see? Ezra, what are they expecting to see? They're expecting to see a dead body. What do they see from the scripture? What do they see? Matthew. The stone rolled away, and the clothes, yes. And if you had Luke 24 open in front of you, what else would they have seen? Let's go for it.
Still
looking for Luke. Can you help him, Matthew? New Testament. We've got a page number, I think, on the sheets. 86 in the New Testament. This Bible is very confusing because it starts renumbering again once you get into the New Testament. So they were expecting to see a dead body. They'd brought the spices with them. They'd rested on the Sabbath, hadn't done any work because they were good Jewish women, and they weren't allowed to go more than a quarter of a mile away from home, and they weren't allowed to go and do any trading until the end of the Sabbath, which would have been sunset on the Saturday. So they go and shop, and they buy the oil and the spices that they need, and they set off very early in the morning, in early dawn. It's hardly light, but of course there were no street lights or anything in those days, so they had to wait until it was light enough to see where they were going, and they were expecting to see a dead body. What do they find in verse 4? Adults are allowed to answer this question. There's a hand going up. Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Two men in dazzling clothes.
I think we'd probably say that they were angels. Two men in dazzling clothes. And they're the ones who asked the question in the verse that we've looked at. Why do you look for the living among the dead? In other words, they'd gone to a tomb. They were expecting to find something dead. Someone dead. And the angels say to them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Which is very confusing, because they were expecting to find a body, and the angels are saying, but he's living now. He's not here. He's risen. And then, beginning of verse 6, what are they told to do? And this is going to be our key word for this morning. What are they told to do, beginning of verse 6? Remember how he told you. So in other words, remember the words of the Lord Jesus and how he told you, verse 7, that the Son of Man, that's just a title that Jesus uses for himself, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. And so that's the understanding that they had completely forgotten in their distress and in their sadness and in their confusion. And the same can happen to us. Things can get really difficult in life one way or another, and we can forget the words and promises of the Lord Jesus. And what we need to do is to come back and remember, particularly on Easter Sunday morning. We remember that we're resurrection people. We remember that the tomb was empty. And it's worth, if you're confused about that, it's worth checking that out. It's worth coming and asking me. There's lots and lots of literature, books and pamphlets and things to explain why it is that Christians believe this. So it's worth checking that out. But the more important thing is to remember why. And what they were told in Galilee, verse 7, was that the Son of Man must be handed over. In other words, it's an essential that Jesus is handed over and that he dies. And that they were so distressed that they hadn't sort of remembered that, they didn't remember that. And as I said, it can happen for us too, that when things get really difficult, and most of you, I guess, will know that this week has been quite a tough week for the sort of wider community of around Oval and Kennington and here, because the daughter and son-in-law of the vicar at St. Mark's Kennington were killed last Sunday afternoon in a road accident in Greece, where they were on holiday. They plunged over a cliff and were killed, both of them together. And that's just been devastating. But it's devastating and yet not without hope, because they were two Christian people. They were 25, 26, been married about 18 months, and they were apparently radiant Christians. They were members of a local church here called Hope Vauxhall, and the pastor there spoke about them with great warmth last night. We had a gathering when we were just taking the time to sit with the family. The scriptures tell us in Romans 12 that you're to weep with those who are weeping. And so it was an opportunity for a larger gathering to come and be with them. But the thing that came across loud and clear from the words that were spoken and the prayers that were spoken is that those two, Millie and Toby, now see their Lord face to face. That is the Christian hope, that death is not the end for Christians. And the reason that we say it's not for the end is because Jesus rose from the dead. And the great promise that is made to us is that for those who believe in him, though we will face judgment, the consequence of the judgment will not be separation from God for people who are carrying their own sin, but it will be welcome and being able to come into the presence of God because Jesus has carried our sin for us. And that's why it was essential, verse 7, that he must be handed over and crucified. It's because when he died on the cross, one of the things that he said was, "Why have you forsaken me?" Speaking to God the Father. And that was because he was separated from God for the Father from the only time in eternity. He's separated because of the weight of human sin. Sin automatically separates us from God. We know that if we have a row with somebody, until we're forgiven and until we forgive, we're distanced. We're not in good relationship. We just know that that's true. If we've been angry with somebody or someone's told a lie or that some other way that there's been sin between us, we're distanced, we're separated until there's reconciliation. And the same is true of us and God. If we've rebelled against God, and all of us have, because we're told to love God with all our heart, and we haven't done that, and we're told to love our neighbors as ourselves, and we haven't done that, we're distanced from God. What Jesus has done is taking onto himself the punishment that that sin deserves. He took onto himself the distance, the separation, so that in Christ, Millie and Toby, or any one of us, can come before the Lord Jesus and greet the Lord Jesus as our older brother, as one that we've loved from afar and now see face to face. That is why it was necessary and essential that Jesus was crucified. In their sadness, the women didn't understand that. They went expecting to see a body. They found two people in dazzling clothes. Two people who were clearly angels. And they said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen." And that's the Easter message. That's our Easter hope. And we need to remember, especially in times of tragedy and in times of difficulty. So we need to learn the lesson well on a day when the sun's shining, so that when in our life there's a storm or something really difficult, we know that truth so deeply in ourselves that it will sustain us and keep us in that tough time. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you loved the world so much that you gave your one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Father, thank you that you presented Jesus and gave him as the atoning sacrifice for the sin of the world. You made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. Father, that great thing that Jesus did for us that none of us could do for ourselves, pay the price of our own sin. Father, thank you that those women were the first to see that the Lord Jesus was no longer dead but was raised. Thank you for our confident hope that Jesus has conquered death and he now gives new life. And Father, we pray that all of us who are here might know that truth deep in ourselves. And for any, Father, who are saying, well, I'm not sure about these things, Father, I really pray that you would stir them up to ask more questions, to keep on pushing at this until they've found what the truth is. And Father, for any who are saying, well, I want to do that, Lord, I'm asking that you would help them now just to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you so much that you died for me. Thank you that you long for me to know you. And I pray, Father, that any who are in that situation and place this morning will be ready and willing to receive Jesus into their lives as Lord and as Savior and as King. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.